Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is not a real election ad. KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can.
KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job.
And yes, KJ and Lyons are bigly on sports.
Read my lips.
KJ and Lyons are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lyons work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lyons. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, Saturday, WEEI. Good day to you. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Tuesday. I cannot wait because the NBA season tips off the way it should. The raising of banner 18, TD Garden. Celtics, Knicks, and then the second game is LeBron and his kid trying to impress me. We'll get to that in a second. So, John, obviously the Celtics are the prohibitive favorite to repeat again this year. I think it's very hard to repeat. Instead of just, because I don't want to be total green teamer on this break here, I think there has to be something that we have to find a way to be able to show that the Celtics will be challenged. So, give me the team that you think gives them the greatest challenge in the Eastern Conference, and we'll see if they match.
So in the East, I lean towards the 76ers as the biggest challenge. Who you
really?
Got? Yeah. Who you got?
Well, tell me why. I mean, this is like this not like Circle ABC.
All right. So look, here's the thing about the 76ers. Joel Embiid is an MVP candidate, probably the second most dominant big man in the NBA behind Nikola Jokic. Right? We agree there. Tyrese Maxey is a legit all-NBA talent who I think is only going to get better. And then they bring in Paul George. And I think part of this is addition by addition, duh. But part of it's addition by subtraction where they don't have James Harden there anymore. And I think Paul George is a better fit on the wing than another ball-dominant guard in James Harden. And also, like Nick Nurse to me, right? So he won a championship with the Toronto Raptors. And why that's it's significant for two reasons. One, A, he's won a championship. But also, that Raptors team came together really quickly, right? Kawhi Leonard was traded there over the summer. They threw it all together, and boom, they win a championship in the first year together. So I think he's the type of coach where you put talent in front of him together, he can make it work pretty quickly and get championship results pretty quickly. So I look at Philly as the biggest threat. Obviously, it's a little bit health-dependent, but I look at Philly as number one.
Well, that's why I don't think it's Philly, because I think it is health dependent, right? Paul George is dealing with some type of knee situation. Yep. I don't think if it's, we don't know if it's serious or not just yet, but we are talking about a guy who's had some knee issues in the past.
It's a red flag, in fairness.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then with Joel Embiid, you're now starting to get it to the point of like, when is the next time you're going to get a full season out of him? Or should you expect to not get a full season out of him to hope to have him in the playoffs? Plus, he also played in the Olympics, so he played extended minutes and time. My concern with Philadelphia is who does the dirty work? Who is the guy? Like, they're a team like now, if Naz Reid was still on their roster, I would say Philadelphia would still be absolutely dangerous because at least you know that there was additional size that could bother the Celtics. But I don't see them bothering the Celtics because anything that would bother the Celtics to me would involve size. Philly didn't improve their size. And here's the other concern I have with them is Paul George going to potentially be to the detriment of the growth of Tyrese Maxey, right? Tyrese Maxey to me is the growth element on that team. Joel Embiid is who he's going to be. Paul George is now, we just call it, he's a dog more than halfway into the woods in his career, even though you gave him the max deal. I think that's going to be an issue because I think you're paying more than what you're going to get in return. And so I think there's going to be this forced feeling that Paul George has to be more involved in the offense. And it isn't going to be at the detriment of Joel Embiid. It's going to be at the detriment of Tyrese Maxey. And so if you get Tyrese Maxey out of the flow of things, then how are you not showing me that this is like Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook and Paul George, but, you know, Russell Westbrook being played by the part of Joel Embiid? So there's a part of me that thinks that Paul George, because even sooner, how well did it go with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard with the Clippers?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kawhi missing so much time had a lot to do with that. But, I mean, to your point, Paul George missed a little bit of time and they underachieved as a whole. But I think that, to me, that was more about Kawhi and all the time he missed.
But Paul George didn't put him. He didn't put that team on his shoulders.
No, but I think in Philly, to me, he's the third guy now. And I know the contract doesn't say that, but I think he's the third
1A.
Guy.
I think they see him as 1A.
I think he's, to me, if they're going to be successful, he's the third guy, right? Because Embiid, you're one, okay, MVP candidate. Maxey's your point guard. He's going to have the ball most of the time. If he can be your second option with Paul George on the wing at three, then I think that can be a great team. But, again, if they look at Paul George as a 1A and they think he's going to be that guy, I don't think that would be.
Well, I think Paul George sees himself as a 1A.
It's possible.
And that's why I think it gets in the way of Tyrese Maxey. You're absolutely right. Tyrese Maxey should be the number two option. Even if you go back to the playoffs last year, when he had to be the number one option, he did not disappoint. So with Paul George, there's going to be an expectation that he should be the guy after Joel Embiid that gets the ball, that is making that gets that final shot, and that maybe Maxey should be deferring. This is where I think that Philly's the problem. I think that's going to, I think there's just not enough basketballs and reduced expectations from other players outside of Embiid, right? Because here's the thing, this is what's crazy. Everything should be about Joel Embiid on that team, and yet we're discussing what's going to happen between Maxey and George. And I think that's where the issue is. Now, if you ask me who the biggest threat to the Celtics are in the East, I kind of wrestle with this, but I'm going to say it is the Knicks. And the reason being is the Knicks have now built themselves almost a mirror team to the Celtics that you could say, okay, almost piece to piece, we can at least cause some type of interest. Like, because piece to piece, no one's really going to match up with the Celtics in terms of star power and so forth like that. But they come very close. And this really is more about Mikal Bridges than it is Cat, okay? If Mikal Bridges can get in there and you don't have to depend on his offense, but you know he's got an offensive game, but he can go in there and at least frustrate Tatum and Brown in some regard, you still have Brunson who can provide points. Josh Hart can get you some points and some heavy rebounding. And then you can get to the Cat piece, where if Cat's doing things from the outside, let's just talk about like Tuesday night, there won't be any Kristaps Porzingis there. So we'll be able to kind of get a little bit of a look of what it looks like when you don't have your expected rim protection there and you've got a big guy who can do it on the inside and the out. So that's what would be fascinating about Tuesday's game is it will be probably a blueprint of what the Knicks would want to do to beat the Celtics. It's just that the Celtics won't have its key rim protecting piece to see if the Knicks can do it successfully. So that's why I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, if the Knicks do win Tuesday night, but it's not the end story. I still think the Celtics they really can only beat themselves.
With the Knicks, like, I think the separator for the Celtics and the Knicks is really the Celtics' depth to me. Like, I think the Celtics' starting five is better, first of all, but like the Knicks' bench, like, Anunoby's a good player, Mitchell Robinson's a good player, but I think I would take Horford, Pritchard, and Hauser, that combination coming off the bench, over Robinson and Anunoby. I like the Celtics' depth better there. And even if you want to put in Xavier Tillman, I know he's more of a lesser role player, for lack of a better term, I would put him there. But again, I think the Knicks, I mean, I'm a little bit more down on them than you are. Like, I don't think they stink by any means. I think they're a good team. I think the mix they had was really good, and now they've made two significant changes to it. And we saw with the Celtics last year, they made two significant changes and it got better, but I wonder with the Knicks, is it going to kind of end up being the same but just in a different way? What I mean by that is their end result going to be the same, but they just kind of take a different path to get there.
Oh, no. Julius Randle was going to be eaten alive by the Celtics.
That's an all-NBA level player, though, too.
Yeah, but yeah, he didn't. Yeah, yeah. No. Right? Like
Towns Tatum is a better big, but
I
don't know. Like,
but in terms of you think that Randle would be able to handle Tatum on the outside?
To me, it's a little bit more about DiVincenzo. Like, I think that, and again, maybe the combination of Bridges and Josh Hart.
Right, because if you told me, hey, we're giving up DiVincenzo for Bridges, I'm not totally upset. Yeah, did they lose some precise outside shooting? Sure. But you are replacing him with Mikal Bridges, so you can get kind of the 3-and-D. You weren't necessarily getting the 3-and-D from DiVincenzo. And with Randle, you had to decide what, like, he was just going to be in the way in terms of what they want to do. He wasn't big enough to really defend taller. Like, what is he going to do? Stand there against Porzingis in the paint? On a switch?
And one thing about the Knicks, too, and this is a Tom Thibodeau thing.
And he wasn't going to be able to defend Tatum out on the perimeter.
They have that. Remember the Pacers, right? So that was a sweep, but three of the four games were really close, and the Celtics really had to earn those wins.
Right.
The Knicks are a team like that. Like, you're going to have to play 48 minutes. I mean, heck, if the Knicks didn't have a bunch of injuries.
Thibodeau's going to make him play 48 minutes.
Right. Like, but if the Knicks didn't have a bunch of injuries, they would have beaten the Pacers, and they would have been the ones in the Eastern Conference Finals last year against the Celtics. So, like, and Indiana's another team that I think is legit in the East, too. And you know,
they would be the sneaky one, yes.
Yeah, and Orlando even. I like Orlando. But you know what's funny about this discussion, KJ? So we've been talking for, 10 minutes now about threats in the East. We haven't mentioned Giannis and Dame in Milwaukee, which is kind of interesting.
They're kind of like the one that you got to worry about in the movie. Like, if there's a start of a movie and you think you whacked somebody. A lot of people think that, you know, Milwaukee's no longer in the conversation. I would argue,
if that's true.
Right. I would say be careful towards the 9 o'clock portion in a movie. The movies are made on clocks at 9 o'clock is like the, here comes the finale. That they've had now a full season with Damian Lillard. Okay. So now going into this season, the question would be, can Giannis stay healthy? Can they put the foot on the gas? Can their role players, because they've gotten role players that haven't done their roles. What's your guy's name that used to be here?
Middleton,
Jay Crowder.
Crowder, too. Like, those guys have not been as good in recent years. Yeah.
But even with Middleton, if you feel like you can come off of him, you would be able to get a semi-hefty return for him. So at least you have a trade piece that someone could take to reduce another big contract. You say, hey, we can go find someone with a big contract who can offer up what we want now in return for someone who's got a big contract on a team where they're not going anywhere. So they still have that movable chip if they need to do that. That's why I think Milwaukee still could be pretty dangerous. Yeah. I'm with you in terms of Indiana. I think the difference between Indiana, where at the beginning of last season, like, hey, they're pretty neat, they're a young up-and-coming team, is the acquisition of Pascal Siakam. Like when
it's
you
a
have
a championship vet.
There you go, right? So you have a guy who can do it on the inside and the outside and can defend. He can defend length. That's why these guys caused the Celtics problem, because you can defend some of your length in the front court and still be able to push the ball and get, and let's just call it what it is, they did get some exceptional play out of their guard play outside of Tyrese Halliburton that were just like they were playing out of their face. So maybe that was just an anomaly, but they were on a run. I think they got a lot of confidence when they beat Milwaukee last year. Now it's almost like, hey, you have to get back to the Celtics. I think them and the Knicks, it comes down to them and the Knicks. So like, if it came down to who's a 1, 2, 3, 4, I'd probably say Celtics 1, Knicks 2, Indiana 3, Milwaukee 4.
Yeah, I think that's I personally have Philly as the 2, but I don't hate your list there. And I think Milwaukee's that team. Again, Giannis is a top 3 player in the NBA. Lillard, it's funny, he's never won a championship, but I still look at him as a great playoff player. Like, he took some of those Blazers teams that weren't that talented deep in the West playoffs. And Bobby Portis off the bench, like, he's not a great player, but he has that edge to him that I think is really helpful if you're trying to win a championship. So
they have a lot of good players that do good things. Nobody's a great player.
I think they're getting too much overlooked here. I really. And another one, and we haven't mentioned it yet, Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland, that was a one. And look, I like the Celtics. Like, I think the Celtics would beat Cleveland in 5 or 6 games, but I think they would all be hard fought. I mean, that was a... The Celtics won in 5 in the last couple games. It wasn't close, but by then Mitchell was out. Like, when Mitchell played, that was a 2-1 series, right? That was relatively close. Like, after game, so I think game 1 the Celtics won in a blowout. Game 2 they lost. Game 3 was kind of a close win. So Like, to me, that's a team that I don't put them on the level of the Knicks or the 76ers, but like, if that's a first-round matchup for the Celtics, them or Orlando, that is a six-game, I think, difficult series early in the playoffs.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're about 20 minutes away from go over, go under in the NFL for the games this week. Plus, we got to talk about the Patriots in London and Drake May's kind of cute comment to lighten the mood. That's next, but right now it's time to trend with my man Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots are in London getting ready for the Jaguars tomorrow morning. Final injury report released yesterday. Running back Ramondre Stevenson is listed as questionable with a foot injury, but when he met with the media yesterday, he said he should be ready to go, while tackle Viridian Lowe was ruled out with an ankle injury. Kickoff in London set for 9:30 tomorrow morning. Bruins' three-game road trip rolls on tonight as they are in Salt Lake City taking on the Utah Hockey Club. Puck drop from the Delta Center set for 9 p.m. Yankees looking to punch their ticket to the World Series tonight in Cleveland after last night's 8-6 Game 4 win. First pitch from Progressive Field set for 8:08. Meanwhile, in the National League, the Mets stave off elimination with a 12-6 home win over the Dodgers last night. L.A. will have another chance to advance tomorrow night back in Los Angeles. Some Celtics roster news. The team has waived guard Lonnie Walker IV, although he will likely be joining the G League's main Celtics. Finally, college football Saturday. A couple of good games today, headlined by top-ranked Texas hosting fifth-ranked Georgia. Don't forget, you can catch Westwood One's coverage of that game right here on WEEI starting at 7 p.m. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lyons coming up after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Thanks so much for spending your Saturday here. Missed any of the show? The app is free on the Odyssey. The show is free to replay on the Odyssey app. Just type in WEEI. That's Drake May. Giving what's a, let's just call it what it is, kind of a reminder that people probably need to do a little bit better in their civics class of what team, you know, the British would be the most fond to root for. I don't know if Drake remembers why the team is called the Patriots and how they freed themselves from those same people. Like, that wouldn't be their team.
Yeah, they might, you know, they might go with the Chargers or the Rams or somebody. Patriots.
Maybe they go with the Raiders because, you know, Pirates raid booty and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe Ravens because maybe they're an Edgar Allan Poe fan, you know, Nevermore saith the Raven. Colts, a lucky horseshoe. I don't know. It'd be tough, wouldn't you think? But definitely not the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't think that would be historically their first choice.
Yeah.
Maybe not their second one either.
Maybe if the commander stick was just calling the commandos, you know, be like, hey, hello, governor. There's a bit commanders here. Okay, that was bad. Sometimes I forget this is the middle of the day, right, John?
Yeah.
But look, I guess getting to it, you know, Sunday's game is key because I think it's a bellwether for the Patriots fans of can you beat up on bad teams as you're trying to grow confidence in your new quarterback who showed some really good signs. I would say more positive last week than the negatives. Look, better that the interception be on your very first play, get it out the way because they are seeing what you want to do and you correct it. You didn't repeat that error there in that regard. The fumble, clearly that's tied to some of your protections and so forth. You can work on those things that can be worked on. But the positives that you saw was that the ball was moving. You were throwing receivers open. You were leading them versus receivers having to wait for the ball. You weren't holding on to the ball. You're able to make plays with your legs in key moments. So there are more positives that went on last week. But wouldn't you think that fans would want to see a building block from those positives turn into a win this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. And Bill Belichick talked about this earlier in the week that for both Jacksonville and New England, this is a game that both teams feel like they can get, right? Like you go into the Houston game and look, every time a player or coach steps on the field, they believe they can win. But you lose to Houston and you're like, well, that's a team that could go to the Super Bowl. They're just ahead of us and their development. If you go out against Jacksonville, though, and you win, you're like, well, that's a team that has a little bit more talent than us, but they're having some problems. We were able to take advantage of it, which as the Patriots build, because what's the goal here, right? They're eventually going to be a good team. As they build towards that, and it might take 2 years, but as they build towards that, it's the type of game that you think, all right, maybe we can be a good team together eventually because we can win a game where the other team, yeah, they're talented, but they're kind of out of sorts. They're not playing well. That's a game that we can depend on because even last year's Patriots, KJ, let's not forget, right? They only won 4 games and it was terrible. They won 2 games in December, including beating a Steelers team that was a playoff team. So
the other one was Denver, too.
And the other one was Denver, which, again, not a good team that the Patriots played better than and beat. So
Right. Can
you kind of replicate that this time around? Because you've beaten already a Cincinnati team that I think eventually could be a playoff team. I know they're kind of out of sorts right now, but there's talent there. But now this is a Jacksonville team that's not good overall. Some talent there, not good overall. Can you beat a team like that? I think that would be a good next step, not just in the development of Drake May, but I also think we got to be watching the development of Jerod Mayo here, right? Rookie head coach. This is the type of game that as you build your head coaching credentials and your cachet up with players, can you look at a free agent next offseason and say, hey, we could at least beat the teams that we were, you know, playing better than. We could at least beat bad teams. Or are you going to lose this game and you don't even have that in your back pocket to say?
Remember at the beginning of the season, we were just looking at the schedule. I don't think anybody had taken the field just yet. And I said, you know, weeks 2 through 7 were going to be tough for this team. And then I said, but then week 7, 8, 9, these could be things that would have the fan base feel good. So this is the week that I thought that Drake May would make his debut. Obviously, I'm a week early, but if we were on the Price is Right, I would win both showcases, would I not?
Well, didn't you technically go a week late? So would you not? How would that work, Zach?
The bid I put in, it came in before.
Okay, so would that count, Zach? You can be our Bob.
Yeah,
Barker.
I think that counts.
Yeah, there
unless
was
unless you'd rather be Drew Carey.
Because if you go over, then you lose. And okay, so you came in under. Yeah, I think
that right. I came in under. So if you said he was going to start week 1 and it didn't happen till week 7. You didn't get the bid in early. You were late. You missed it.
Okay. All right. I'm not Shime
who's saying that he should have been there day one.
I was saying week 9. So
right.
You were closer than I was.
So here we are in this week 7, 8, 9, right? Well, there is the bye, obviously, when they come back. But this is kind of the feel-good time that this team should be having. And this has to start it. If it doesn't get off on the right foot, then I would be concerned. And then for some of the questions coming towards Mayo. And then also, if the problems that have been existing or been kind of bubbling under start to explode, like the defense being unattentive, the offensive line regressing, because I've seen small pieces of progress, right? All this while going on trying to develop this new quarterback. And I think the first thing is he's got to get the win. So by saying that, give me one thing that you're concerned about with Drake May going into this game, and one thing you're confident about, and I promise I won't steal your answer.
So let's start with the concern here. The first one for me, and I've talked about this since training camp, not to toot my own horns, just something I've had my eye on, empty protection. How does he deal with his protection and feeling the pass rush in empty? Because he was sacked three times, but the strip sack is the one that stands out. That was an empty protection. He didn't get the ball out fast enough, didn't quite feel the rush, ended up getting strip sacked. This was something I thought he kind of struggled with during training camp, and is something that at North Carolina, not that he was never in empty protection, but not as often as he'll probably be in the NFL over the course of his career. So that's the biggest thing. How is he going to deal with that? Because if he can figure that out and at least play reasonably well with empty protection, then you can send five guys out in routes and maybe there's more options. But if he can't, then you got to keep an extra guy or two in every time. And it's just fewer guys out there in the pass concept, fewer places to go with the ball. So that's the number one thing I'm concerned about and I want to see him work on.
Hold your thought on what you think he'll do right, because I'll give you my thing that I'm concerned about. I would be concerned about the Drake May that starts to get a little more confident in the wrong way than in the right way. Remember when Belichick was looking at some of the stuff he was talking about him with in preseason and saying that, you know, one of the concerns about Drake May is sometimes that awareness can disappear at times, like not being aware of what's in front of you and making mistakes off of that.
Yep.
I would be concerned because you know that you were as good as you could be, and now that you're not up against as strong of a team, that you may get confident in situations where we don't need you to be cocky, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, you want to have the fine line between confidence and recklessness, right? You don't want him to make like that throw to Kayshon Booty last week was a confident throw, but you don't want him to make reckless throws that then lead to turnovers,
right? Because I think if there's one thing that the Jags are probably trying to prepare the defenses for is try and force him into situations that make it look like it's going to be confidence and turn it into recklessness.
Yep.
And if you can do that once or twice in a game, now the quarterback's confidence is shot, and now you're just going to start unloading. Okay, the one thing that you expect him to do right.
So for me, I think he's going to do a pretty good job throwing the ball down the field. And this is something the Patriots offense really hasn't had since Tom Brady left. I think Cam Newton and Mac Jones combined to throw one pass that was over 35 air yards, if I had my research right. And so that's not that many, obviously. So he throws the 40-yard touchdown to Booty, which was over 30 yards in the air. I think it was 37 yards in the air, to be exact. Can he continue to do that? And you can't live with the deep ball all the time. Like, it can't be the number one part of your offense. But if you're able to show, hey, I can hit two or three of these deep balls in a game, then all of a sudden the defense starts backing off a little bit more. The short to intermediate passing game is a lot easier. Running the ball, which we know is kind of the key to this whole offense, is going to be a lot easier. So that's something I thought he did really well against Houston. And I think he's going to continue to do that well against the suspect Jags pass defense.
All right, the thing that I expect him to do right is something that he did well last week, which was make plays with his legs when needed to be. If you remember earlier when I said idealistically in a game with Drake May, if he can get you 30 to 35 yards with his legs, that's going to equate to additional first downs, possibly getting yourself into field goal situations, being able to put points on the board. One of the biggest problems with this team has been, you know, maintaining time of possession. So if you can extend series and plays and then maybe able to scramble yourself to get a play open, I think this is where the tight end, maybe Hunter Henry and Hooper, will be able to get integrated more into the game by him being able to extend. So I believe he'll be able to extend plays again without making those mistakes. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're about 3 minutes away from go over, go under. We'll look at the NFL schedule, the overs and unders at BetMGM. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. Good Saturday to you, man.
How are you? Good talk. I just fear that this instant Drake May overanalyzation, and I think I know we want to talk about him, whatever. We have him. Let's let this guy burn out the rest of this schedule. Let's see. Let's look at it at the end of the year. He's going to have ups and downs in games. He's going to have ups and downs in months. He's going to have ups and downs. It's just the way it is. If we're in a rebuild, let's pretend we're in a rebuild, even though we didn't break down our front office. Let's pretend we're in a rebuild. I want to ask you about what I think there's about three things that come off of this center they picked up from the practice squad. Came in and played Ben something or other. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the Ben center Brown, right?
Ben Brown.
Okay, so I see a thing online. It says Ben Brown is potentially going to be a building block for Drake May. Another kind of interesting thing.
Well, you saw that online.
I saw it online, but I did hear the coaching staff admit he may have graded out better than the other guys on the line, right? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, he did have a pretty good game, I thought, and I think the coaches mentioned that he played pretty well.
So this is three tangents. You got a guy who's an undrafted free agent on his fourth team in 4 years. You took him basically off the scrap heap, and he came in and played better than all your other guys, which means several things. One, it ain't that hard to find offensive linemen now, is it? How in Christ's sakes can't you get a competent offensive line, Elliot Wolf? How about if you went in the draft, the third, fourth, fifth round, and you graded guys out? This guy's an undrafted free agent. Who is he replacing? David Andrews, another undrafted free agent. You can find offensive linemen. You can't. It's easy to find. It's not that hard to put an offensive lineman again. This guy's all around you. This guy tells it to you. You cannot be such an abject failure at the offensive line. It's completely insane. And then you got to be, well, we got to go pick a guy in the, we got to get a guy in the top pick next year. No, you don't. You need impact players. We've got Drake May. We need impact players around him. We don't need to be spending draft capital on frickin' offensive linemen. See Ben Brown. See David Andrews. See Joe Tooney, who went out to Kansas City, came in the fourth round. Shaq Mason, we cried about. There's a million of them. I tell people, because we're in 1993 right now, we're replaying 1993. But I was there. John McCain made a famous thing. He said, I was a foot soldier in the Reagan Revolution. Well, Steve Fofana was an eyewitness to the rebuild in 1993. You go back in the draft, the drafthistory.com, you look at 93. 94, 95, and 96 rebuilt the Patriots for the 90s and the first three Super Bowls. They also didn't draft Adam Vinatieri. They got him in 96. They drafted free agent. You'll notice there were two offensive linemen in those drafts. Dave Wolaba, 112, and Max Lane was even lower than that, right?
All right, Steve, 30 seconds. Go ahead. Finish your thought, and then we go.
Dropped.
Listen, I understand Steve's point about, okay, you found this undrafted free agent. He played pretty well at center. I take a couple different lessons than Steve from that. Number one, I think it speaks to how poorly the rest of your offensive line has been playing, right? Like, if an undrafted guy can come in and just be as good or better, it speaks to how poorly Nick Leverett played over the last couple weeks filling in
John,
for Andrews.
Well, John, the other part of it is every offensive lineman doesn't do the same thing. If you told me that the left tackle has been on four teams and has been cut several times, I don't know if you get the same result than if you have a center who's been able to call, plays and protections.
It's funny you say that, because that leads me right into my next point is, yes, they've had evidence over the last 20 years, they had several offensive linemen who were drafted later, undrafted, have great careers. But when you look at tackle, like Matt Light was a second round pick, Nate Solder was a first round pick, Sebastian Vollmer was a second round pick. So at tackle, and even Trent Brown, who I know they traded for, he had been, I think, a previous first or second round pick. I might be a little off there. But so they were using higher draft picks at tackle, whereas on the interior, so Logan Mankins was a first round pick, but a lot of those other guys were third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks, including David Andrews, who was undrafted. So I think it's a little bit different when you have the tackle discussion, whereas a lot of good tackles are first and second round picks and have been for the Patriots over 20 years. I think he has a fair point about the interior. I just think tackle's a little bit different.
Right. And again, with the interior, we understand what it is. Those are where you can move guys around. You can move guards around left, right. But once you start getting to the tackle, right, like you're like, whoever can't get it, and you've got a right-handed quarterback. That's why even earlier in the show, if you missed it, Odyssey app is free. I'd even said, like, look, if the Patriots had thought about waiting to get Michael Penix Jr., it actually could have made some sense, because your strongest offensive tackle, Michael Nwenyu, is on the right side, and now that becomes, quote-unquote, your left tackle in the big picture of things, but that's not how it works. So, in some regards, where I can't agree with Steve a little bit is, you can overthink this offensive tackle thing, and then miss out on the other things that you need, because at some point you're going to need a receiver that's absolutely going to keep defenses up at night, and they don't have that just yet. I don't think that person's on this roster. I think all the receivers are complementary pieces, right? You even said that, hey, Kendrick Bourne on a good team might be the third receiver. Yeah. But here, he's probably the most trusted receiver.
Oh, he's the one right now.
He's the one right now. So, and then even if you look at Devontae Parker when he was here, with Juju Smith-Schuster, guys who had seen times as 1As or 1s on other teams, are now suddenly, you know, like those weren't it. So the Patriots are just not known for scaring defenses when it comes to the passing game. So clearly at some point the passing game going forward is going to be more important than the guy who's standing there. And because you have a quarterback that has mobility, it buys you a little bit of leeway. All right, we'll get to go over, go under next here with KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons winding it down here on WEEI, but we thank you so much for being here. Missed any of the show? The Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI, brings you to the station. You can play it chapter by chapter. Part of the conversation that we talked about is the Celtics opening night on Tuesday, and then the game that follows the Celtics is the Timberwolves and Lakers. And, John, there's a part of me that wishes that Portnoy offers $1 million to the player that dunks on Bronny in this garbage time, and LeBron is in the photo.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this Wednesday.
Dad, they're dunking on me.
And you kind of wonder, if they really push this Bronny thing, it's going to create some resentment from guys in the NBA, and including guys, especially on that Lakers bench. So
the way they do, careful
with that, man.
The way they do it is that they pray that LeBron is in the game when Bronny's in there, because it's most likely going to be garbage time, and then just start posterizing him and hoping that LeBron is in the frame of the postering, so that way he can see his kid just getting gonads.
I can see LeBron being smart enough that there's a fast break. He just kind of trails off, and he's like not. He's not in the photo.
It's like let the young lion learn on his own, right?
Yeah. It's a first year head coach there too, and we know that LeBron runs the team. So,
of course,
right? It's a real slippery
slope. The guy
gets
the job because he did a podcast with LeBron.
I mean,
and just, I'm not saying Redick doesn't know basketball, but like, come on, like that was his biggest qualification.
Just think, one of our BC alum is probably just a day away from being the assistant head coach at BC because they do a podcast with Bill O'Brien. Yeah. I mean, they might as well do it. Well, I mean,
where can you sign up for that?
37937 text line. What you got, Zach?
One texter doesn't want the Patriots to win tomorrow because they want the number one pick.
Yeah, but what does the number one pick really do for the team if you've got the number, like, does it change the entire momentum of this team?
Yeah, I just have a philosophical disagreement with that whole idea, especially in football. Like, you already have the quarterback, so you're going to tell me you're going to try to tank for the best left tackle instead of the second best one in the draft, and then get loser DNA infected in you? I have a philosophical disagreement with that.
Well, the other part of that is, and I think if those are things on your mind, it's the last week of the last two,
right,
3 weeks of the season.
It's October.
Do you put Jacoby Brissett back in there?
It's October.
to make that happen? I don't think. Guys, I saw the... Oh, go ahead. One more.
Just going to say, it's one thing if you don't have the quarterback, but the Patriots have the quarterback.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, they have the quarterback.
Like, stick
last
him in there to
year,
tank?
Like, if they had lost the last week of last year, and you were like, oh, well, they'll get the number three pick instead of four. Like, okay, I can at least see that argument. Now, like, if Drake May is supposed to be the future, why would you need to lose any games?
I just saw the greatest meme, and it has me tickled like I'm a 10th grader. I'm still in 10th grade, not me tickling a 10th grader. Just clarify that. The meme says that you now know that you cannot say Irish wristwatch. Can you say that fast?
I don't want to try it on the air.
Well, it's not like you're saying shine my city shoes.
I don't know. Is it going to turn into me saying something bad? Irish wristwatch.
No, you got to say it faster than try,
Zach. Say, that's like the fastest I can say.
Yeah. Try, Zach.
Irish wristwatch.
Jesus.
You got to slow yourself.
Pause.
Why are you slowing yourself? Irish wristwatch.
There's that pause there right after.
Yeah, you have the Irish wristwatch. It's very hard. Try it with your parties tonight, okay? Before we get out of here, let's go ahead and crank up. Go over, go under. Hit it, Zach.
Do you have any idea what the odds are? Shoot, it's got to be in the millions.
One dog goes one way. Move and go under. And a dog goes the other way. One dog goes one way. Move and go under. And a dog goes the other way.
Get over. Yeah. All right, here's how it works. I'll give the total points number. John and I will tell you over or under what we think. And if Zach disagrees, he has a producer's challenge. You have your producer's challenge ready, Zach?
I do.
All right. Patriots, Jags, 42 points. Over or under, John?
I say over. These are two defenses that are not playing well. I think we're going to see over 42.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was going to say under because, but again, right, nobody's playing defense, so I take the over. Seahawks, Falcons, 51. Over, under?
I actually say over. Those are two offenses with a lot of talent. We saw Kirk Cousins have his breakout 500-yard game a couple weeks back. Yep. Seahawks can move the ball. And Seahawks have, 10 days rest after that Thursday night game against San Francisco? I think this goes over.
Yeah, the pinballs are going to be flying. Geno Smith, the number one in yards passing. Kirk Cousins, number two. Over 51, I'm with you. Titans, Bills, 41.
I'm going to go under, and this is more Tennessee. I just think that offense with Will Levis is so bad. I don't see them combine. Like, I could see Buffalo winning this one, 30-10, and then you're under.
Yeah, the team from Remember the Titans would have a better chance against the Bills. I'm with you. I think the Bills could score 30, and the Titans still finish under 10 points. So I'm with you. I take the under because the Titans can't score.
Go under.
Bengals, Browns, 41.5. What you like?
I'm going to go under here. I mean, Joe Burrow's having a good year, but I think that Cleveland offense is just so bad. I could see Cincinnati winning this one 27-10 or something like that.
Go under.
I'm going to go over because I think the Bengals really light it up and the Browns probably tip the over scoring late. So I like the Bengals on the over.
Get over.
Texans, Packers, 48.5. What you like, John?
I actually go over here. I think these are two really capable offense. Houston just scored 41 themselves in New England last week, so I like the over here.
Get over.
I'm going to go with you, John, because you're my partner. I think you see something I don't see. I was going to take the under, but I like the over just because I think there's going to be some type of shootout at the end with these two quarterbacks to push it over.
Get over.
Dolphins, Colts, 43.5. What you like?
Well, for the small sum of $69, you can get a ticket to this game. I'm going to go with the under here. I know Joe Flacco's had some good moments. Looks like Richardson's going to be back, I think. So I don't hugely buy into him. Miami still just seems all out of whack offensively, so I go under.
Go under.
Well, if the tickets are only $69, I'm going under. Lions, Vikings. Zach, try not to laugh. 50.5. What do you like here? Over, under?
I'm going under here. I think Detroit wins this game, but I have my eye on Brian Flores and the Vikings defense keeping it a low-scoring game. And I think Detroit, hey, look, I know Dallas is in a bad spot, but they just held them to 9 points. So I like this to be an under.
Go under!
I like the under as well because the Lions are going to want to run the ball and keep it under control. And like you said, Brian Flores is going to try and prevent that ball from flying in the air. So I like the under on 50.5 Lions-Vikings.
Go under!
Eagles-Giants, 42.5. What you like there, over or under?
I think it's under. I think these are two teams that are just kind of in a bad place. I mean, we saw Sirianni arguing with fans last week. Daniel Jones, I'm not a believer in him. I just think this is going to be one of those 14-11 annoying NFC East type games.
Go under!
All right, two more games. Chiefs 49ers 47. Over, under?
So I'm actually going to go under here. I mean, McCaffrey's still out for the 49ers. Kansas City, their offense has not been piling up points. I could see this being a grinded out Super Bowl type rematch. I just go the under here.
Go under!
Yeah, 27-14 would make that a... Or even 24-17 makes it a 41-point game. So I like the under as well. The Chiefs are not this super explosive down the field team. They're methodical in the 49ers. They've got to really be able to control to keep Mahomes off the field. And finally, Jets Steelers, 38.5, over, under.
So this is low. I'm going to go with the over. I think the Pittsburgh defense is going to get a score, and I think they're going to score just enough that it's going to end up going over.
I'm going to go with the over as well, just because I wonder if the Jets will have to fight and scrap for points that will get them over, but the Steelers will make it tough.
Get over.
And that is, go over. We had no producer challenge. You notice that?
He trusts us. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Or maybe Zach is trying to get advice from us on these games he probably hasn't put in yet.
Yeah, it's been a rough football season. so far, so I don't know that I'm in a position.
He's texting
to really
Ken. He's like, "Can I get extra shifts? I'm a little low on money."
That's really bad. If it's it's like a less than zero moment from a betting perspective. Google the movie. John Lyons, man, have a great Saturday, man. You excited for Georgia tennis? For Georgia, Texas tonight?
We might be having some friends over, and I already told my wife we have to occupy at least one screen with that game. So I am fired up for that game.
So, between now and then, do we jump on the Xbox and play some EA College Football 25?
We'll see if the traffic dissipates. I just looked at my ride home; it's going to be a while.
Text me; we'll play it if we're on there. WEEI KJ on Twitch. Have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you again together. KJ and Lyons Tuesday. Zach, thank you again. See ya!
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can. KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job. And yes, KJ and Lyons are bigly on sports. Read my lips. KJ and Lyons are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lyons work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lyons. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.